is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. I've been getting a lot of questions lately from people saying, how do I do it? How do I know an author's work so well? They come on the program and suddenly I know all of their work, and it's a funny story because I have been reading, like Beatrix Potter, I have been reading since I was 3 years old. And over the years, I have read a lot of books. And I know that I've read over 10,000 books because at one point I had 6,314 books in my collection. That's when we lived in Texas. And when we moved from Texas to Florida, at my husband's suggestion, I downsized, and I gave away all of my paperback books. Now, of course, I didn't tell him that I intended to replace those books with hardback books once we got to Florida. But I think he was happy at that point that I did get rid of 2,000 books. And so we had just over 4,000 books when we drove, and he drove the U-Haul with the books because I wouldn't trust them to the moving company. So it was very funny. So we come all the way across from Texas to Florida with all these thousands and thousands of books. Our place in Texas, we had one of those massive houses, over 4,000 square feet. And we come here and we move into a condo with less than 2,000 square feet. So a lot of my books were in storage until eventually we moved and I got a bigger place because I just could not give up these books. Actually, I was going to downsize, and that was at the beginning of 2015. I said, okay, this is enough. I have to start giving away some of my books and then just keeping the ones that were precious to me. Well, of course, that was a difficult time for me. And then a few months later, as I was still thinking about getting rid of books, that's when I got the idea for Joy on Paper. And needless to say, have not been able to get rid of very many books because they keep growing. And I'm really blessed that both the major publishing houses send me books every week, and so many independent authors and self-published authors send me books. So I land up with about 10 books, at least 10 books every week. So it's growing. But the fun thing is that when it comes to authors, because I read voraciously, and as I said, I've been reading since the time my mother sat us down and would read comic books to us, I have this vast knowledge and vast background of reading. So when in a few days, and I'm having a sort of a countdown, 48 hours from now exactly, I'm going to be talking to Daniel Silva. Now, I don't have to hone up on Daniel Silva because I have been reading him since his very first book came out, The Unlikely Spy. I loved it then, and that was back in 1996. And then every time a new book came out, I was right there, eager to buy it. And so over the years, I've read all of his books, and we are now going to hit the number 18 of his wonderful, wonderful series that features Gabriel Elan. And I'm just, it's wonderful. The series is wonderful, and I'm sure you're going to be seeing him all over television. He's already been on, I think, every morning television show. He'll be on every evening television show because the new book is called The Other Woman, and it's a timely book because it is about Russian spies, conspiracy, and all of the wonderful things that Russia has been doing, and not just recently, but we're going back all the way to the 1920s when the Russians took when the communists took over Russia. They always knew that their biggest enemy was the United States, and so they've been at this for a long time. It's nothing new, I can tell you, and which always amuses me because so many of the people on television, those talking heads, they really don't know the history. I wish they would read Amor Towles' wonderful book, A Gentleman in Moscow. It would start opening their eyes and they would start understanding that all of these things have been going on for a long time. So I am really excited that I will be able to talk to Daniel Silva because, you know, he's really big. So it's a great honor that I'm going to be able to speak to him. Now, in a little while, I'm going to be talking to another author whose book I just, you know, as I said, I read so many, all types of books. It doesn't matter. I read anything. I read, you know, the backs of cereal boxes. I read everything. I read, yeah, I'm the only person I think who's in an elevator and I read every word of the sign in the elevator. I just can't, I'm obsessive like that. And I just, one of the types of books that I really enjoy are espionage, European kind of goings on type of books. And so I was really thrilled when I got this book called The Banker's Wife by Christina Elger. It's a great book, and she's just a wonderful writer. It's an old-fashioned type of book. There's something old-fashioned about it. It's a great read, and so I'm really thrilled that I'm going to be talking to her. And I think in a few minutes, right, Ed? Okay. And I am so thrilled to have on the program today an author who I am just blown away with her new book. It is called The Banker's Wife, and the author is Christina Elger, and I am so thrilled because, Christina, are you there?
I'm here, and thank you so much I'm so thrilled that you're excited.
Well, I'm telling you, when I sat down to read this book, I had a busy day ahead of me. I had so many things to do. And then I read the first sentence of the first chapter. And it says, Marina stood on the balcony of her suite at La Maurice and looked out at the glistening lights of Paris. Right then, I knew I was going to forget everything else for the entire day.
Because that's the best feeling. I love that feeling.
I have stood on that balcony. And I know, I was transported back. Now, I wasn't always, when I went to Paris quite often, I wasn't always able to afford La Maurice.
I have never stayed there, but I have seen those balconies. So.
Well, I have stayed there, and I usually, it depended on my financial condition, I stayed on the left bank in lesser hotels, but I have stayed there, and I have been on that balcony, and you got it right. And I was thinking, oh, wow. And so I started reading this book, and I couldn't put it down. I was actually, in many cases, because I worked for a while for a private British bank. And so I got into this world. And you describe this world of finance so well, and so that every reader can just enjoy it and just immerse themselves in it.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. Thank you so much. That means a lot.
Well, let's tell the listeners a little bit about it. It's called The Banker's Wife, and the story starts off with a little tragedy. Well, a big tragedy from the banker's wife's point of view. Tell us about it, and then we'll talk about this wonderful book.
So the prologue opens, and I always say this is not really a spoiler because it happens within the first two pages, but a private plane takes off from London carrying two people. One is a private banker from a Swiss bank named Matthew Warner, and the other is a woman who is unnamed, who he is with, and the plane just goes off the radar and is later, the wreckage is found in the Alps. And so the book follows his wife, Annabelle, or I guess his widow, his young widow, who goes searching for answers as to what happened to her husband, and also Marina Turneau, who's a journalist who's been investigating Swiss United, the bank that Matthew worked for.
Well, you tell the story through the eyes of three very strong women, Annabelle, the widow, and she's a compelling character. And then, of course, you know, it's always wonderful when an author is able to do this from, you know, several points of view. So you really get into knowing the characters and caring about the characters. And certainly we did that with Marina. Now, she's a journalist, engaged to be married, and to the son of a would-be presidential candidate. So that she's an interesting character. And then you bring in a third woman, also a strong woman, a very strong woman, we find out, in the form of the secretary to Matthew, who was killed in the plane crash.
Yes, so it was really important to me to have, you know, a strong female protagonist for this book, and that was sort of one of the fun parts of having these three women. They're all very different, but they're all very smart, you know, very capable and reliable, and so you sort of cheer for all three of them as you're reading.
And it all centers around shenanigans in banks, which has been going on for years and years, but today we have the advantage that sometimes people are able to get hold of documents and leak them, and so that was a very clever idea that you got.
Well, it's, you know, it's funny. I mean, thank you. But it's happened. it's happened a few times now, and so I thought this is fascinating. I mean, someone has to write a novel about this. It's so exciting and sort of interesting to think that you could be a fly on the wall of one of these offshore banks where there's so much, you know, secrecy and mystery surrounding them, and you know, to get a data leak from inside one is so exciting. So that was the jumping off point for me.
And the world of private banking is so interesting anyway, because people don't understand that there are private banks that deal with these very wealthy customers, and actually it's so much fun to work for a private bank.
I didn't realize you had. That's so neat.
I even one time, more than once, carried a briefcase with $100,000 in it.
Oh my gosh!
You know, this is the world of private banking, and it's exciting. And I think you managed to capture that. You weren't yourself into private banking, I guess, but as a lawyer, of course, you're such a good writer and solid writer that you really captured it.
Oh, well, thank you so much. You know, I've just always been fascinated by it, and you hear stories like that, and I'm like, oh my gosh, how cool is this? It's so fascinating. So I did a lot of research too, and it was really fun research to do, because it is just a wild world.
And as I said, you have these three female characters who are strong and who want, all three of them have their motivations, but essentially they're good women, and they want to, do the right thing.
Right. Yeah. No. Exactly. And that was important to me, because I feel like, you know, the thriller genre is sort of fascinating. I've been reading thrillers forever, and the, you know, traditional thrillers that I grew up on, you know, the sort of Lee Child, John Grisham, Nelson DeMille kind of thrillers, they never feature female protagonists, and then there's sort of these psychological thrillers, which are really fun, but often the women are very unreliable or crazy, or, you know, and I really thought this is sort of a moment for strong, intelligent women to take the lead.
Well, I agree, because I was, as a matter of fact, because there have been a lot of female psychological books. I've got so many now, and I was a little bit worried. So I was really happy when I got this book, and as I said, I started in, and in many cases I'm walking in your footsteps, because you mentioned so many of the places that I have either been to or have lived, where I have lived. So for me, it was so exciting, and I you are able to capture the feeling of places, and I thought that was fantastic. But the world of private banking is intriguing, and in this case, where you have somebody who is trying to actually take down one of the corrupt banks and some corrupt people, but you have so many lovely twists and turns in here. And I was thinking when I was reading the blurbs, and one of my favorite blurb is from Lee Child, because he uses a word that I didn't know he had that blurb, but when I finished the book, I said to myself, this book is so satisfying, because it is really like it's just one of these really good old-fashioned books that just sort of hits all the right marks.
I'm so glad.
I don't know if you ever read Helen McInnes. Have you read Helen McInnes?
I have not, but I will.
She's a little bit before Nelson DeMille, but you really should, because she really captures that international flavor,
which you managed to do.
And I really encourage all writers to go back and read Helen McInnes. She was in the 50s and early 60s, and this whole sort of spy espionage, but she does it so beautifully. And I thought, well, you are right in her footsteps, which is really great. And she always has strong women there. So, you know, I thought, wow, this is good. This is really good.
Oh, she sounds right in my alley. Thank you. That's so exciting.
Absolutely. And then, of course, one of my favorite guests. I was so thrilled when I got to talk to Nelson DeMille. And so when he says, you know, right on the front cover, you have a page-turning, plot-twisting international thriller. And he's right, because what's wonderful about this, you have a lot of twists and turns. And I love a book with a lot of unexpected things that I don't guess. And, you know, because I read so much, I can usually figure it out really early. And so it's really fun for me when there are twists and turns.
Oh, good. Well, I'm so glad that there were twists and turns that surprised you. That was a goal of mine. So I agree. I love it when you're sort of caught off guard. I tried to work in as many realistic twists as I could.
Well, you did a great job. Now, as I said, I have lived in many of these places. I have traveled to many of these places. Part of it takes place in of course, it starts off there in Paris, which I love, and then it goes on to Geneva and London. And this is what makes a really great, I think, international thriller, is you get to go to all these places vicariously.
I know. That's part of the joy of reading, right? It's such fun escapist fiction. So I loved writing it because I got to go to all these fun places myself, just in my own head.
Well, just in your own head. But I don't know how many of these places you went to, but you actually captured it. So, you know, that's great. That's great writing.
Well, thank you. I am very conscious of, I hate it when books don't feel authentic. And so I chose to only set it in places that I felt comfortable writing. So they are all places that I've been to and spent a lot of time in. And so I felt okay writing a chapter here or there. So, we have family in Geneva. So I spent a lot of time there as a kid. And so I felt that was a comfort zone for me.
Oh.
But it was also really fun to get to, you know, throw in Paris and London, which I love and would happily visit in my mind anytime.
Well, you know, again, when you got the idea for the book, how did you go about it? Are you one of these planners that you plan everything out, or?
I haven't been historically, and that's not been, that's been to my detriment, but this one was funny because I wasn't sure who I wanted the protagonist to be. So on one hand, I had this idea of it being this really intimate story of a woman who, you know, the widow of this banker, and it's both a thriller, but it's also a domestic story, and so Annabelle came to mind, and then, you know, part of me, this little voice kept nagging me saying, you know, Marina would be a great protagonist for the story because journalists are so important right now and they're doing such important work. And so I started actually writing it from both perspectives to sort of feel out which one excited me more, and they both excited me. So I ended up kind of weaving the two stories together, and that's how the book took form.
Well, I think it's very, very cleverly done. You, as I said, you have these three, and the addition of Zoe as a strong character.
So she surprised me. I did not plan on her popping her head up, but it's funny when, you know, I introduced her pretty early on, and then as the book sort of took form, I was like, you know, I think there's more there. I would really like to see more from her. So she was a surprise. She threw herself into the plot.
Well, it's funny. I was thinking as a reader, I was thinking, well, she's just thrown her in here and we're going to lose her somewhere along the line. She's not important to the story. And then, you know, wow, she takes on a great importance. And it just, as you said, she takes on a life of her own.
She really did. She did. I think that's, you know, that's one of the fun parts of writing is I think as much as you outline books and you plot and you plan, you know, your characters come to life at some point. You can't always control them. So they're sort of like unruly children. But anyway, I became much more interested in her than I thought I would be. So it was fun to have her, you know, have her moment.
Well, the whole idea of the data leaking and people... Well, you know, we're getting leaks all over the place, and it certainly is a sort of a current subject, to say the least.
It is. It is. I know. And it's funny because, you know, when you write a book, it takes about a year to get it out. So it was last summer while I was writing, and it apparently continues to be. So it's an interesting, timely topic.
It is a very timely topic. But actually, as I said, because... I've been in this field before, and I know this is going to go on forever. So we can.
I know.
I think 20 years from now we'll be reading your book and we'll say, "Whoa, she got it right."
Oh, good. Well, that sounds good to me. I would love that. But yes, no, I agree with you. I feel like, you know, there will always be you know, money hidden in places and people doing illicit things with it, so.
Oh, yeah. Where there's big money, there's also always big problems.
Exactly.
And so,
exactly.
But you did manage to capture it, and your other characters, I might almost say that I'm reading a lot of books, of course, where there's CIA and FBI and everybody, and they're also, they're also... They're also good in the books. So we could hope that they're actually that good in real life, because
I know exactly.
I thought, okay, well, you know, we need some of these book FBI agents and book CIA agents.
I know, out there in the real world, exactly.
I thought it was funny, but you know, as a lawyer, you know, you have. What I call a solidness. I think all of the lawyers that I talk to who have turned into, you know, it's in a way it's awful. I'm not going to do any lawyer jokes, but you lawyers are so already, you're already able to make so much money, and then you come in and start writing, and you know, but I guess we can't do anything about it. Linda Fairstein and Tannenbaum and all of these people who are also lawyers. So you could make a good living as a lawyer, but you add this being able to write. But I think it's a talent that you develop as a lawyer too. This organization.
I absolutely. You know, it's funny. My mom always says that she thinks I learned how to write in law school because, you know, it's funny, when I went to law school, I was an English major in college and I'd always done well in English. And then my first legal writing class, I thought, oh, well, this is going to be a piece of cake because I'm a good writer. And I think I got a C on my first paper and I was horrified. It was horrified. And my professor called me in and he said, were you an English major? And I said, yes. And he said, this is your problem. You're using way too many words. You need to learn how to streamline your writing. This is legal writing. You have to, you know, get to the point quicker and more sort of thoughtfully. And so law school really taught me how to write in a very streamlined way. And so I'm grateful for that education. But I think lawyers actually make for great writers. And they're usually readers, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Lawyers love to read.
And I assume, as you said in the beginning, you love to read. And I don't know, you know, of course, your other books were you just started off right from day one with The Darlings, which is also, you know, that was your first book. And now I didn't have a radio show back then, so I didn't start my radio show until 2015. But if I had a radio show back then, I would have wanted to interview you because The Darlings, which is your first book, is very, very good.
Oh, thank you so much. So, yeah, it's, I guess I've been doing this for a few years now, but that was a real labor of love. I wrote that when I was working as a lawyer, so it was kind of a passion project, and then now it's turned into my job, which is fun.
Now, and the thing is, I hadn't read the second book, but once I, once I start, I go crazy. One of the things is that I'm sure you've found too that as you write, you get better every time.
Oh, well, I hope so. That's the goal, right? So I think, I think every time I've written a book, I've learned something from, I've taken away things. And I actually try and, I know a lot of writers don't like to read their reviews, but I actually do because I think you can learn a lot from, what resonates with readers and what doesn't. And you just keep trying to get better every time.
Well, it can be a painful experience, especially on Amazon, where people people can be really nitpicky. I can tell you that. It's funny. Now, Jeffrey Deaver is one of the greatest writers in America. I mean, he's a brilliant writer. He is so solid. He is so good, right? And I was I never read reviews before I read a book. I don't even look at the things the publicists send me. I never read what the publicists send me, and I never read.
Interesting. Okay.
And as a matter of fact, I don't even read the cover. That's why I didn't know until I finished your book. I take the cover off of a book. I never read the blurbs, because I want to form my own opinion. But
that's a great idea.
Then I've read the book, I will look at Amazon and stuff, and I saw that somebody gave Jeffrey Deaver a 1 star.
Now, yep.
Nobody in the world could give. The worst self-published book by somebody who didn't even have it edited, it gets a 1 star. And that Jeffrey Deaver, who every other review is 5 star, 5 star, 5 star, somebody comes along and says, well, I think he's talking too much about one character. And
I know, you cannot please everyone all the time. It's so funny. When my first book came out, I was so unprepared for that. I was so unprepared for people sort of criticizing me online and people get very personal. And my agent sat me down and she said, listen to me, let's come up with a list of 3 books that we both agree are, both critical and literary successes and commercial successes, and go look at their reviews on Amazon, and I promise you every single one of them has 1-star reviews that are scathing. And it's true.
I know.
And it kind of has to make you laugh, because you're like, my God, if someone thinks that this Pulitzer Prize winning book is just trash, then I can't please everyone, so I have to give up.
Or they give Mary Higgins Clark a 1-star because there are 3 words misspelled.
It's just not acceptable.
Somebody will say, it's just not acceptable in a book published by a major publisher that there are 3 misspellings. So
I know, it's so unfair. A friend of mine got ripped apart on Amazon because they felt that the quality of her audiobook was not up to snuff. And she was like, but that's not my fault. I was like, you just have to let it go. You can't please everyone all the time. So
but I think you are going to be pleasing a lot of people with this book, because I think this is one of the best, absolutely best summer reads ever. And it's called The Banker's Wife. And you have a webpage.
I do, yes, ChristinaAlger.com. You can find me there. You can find me on social media. And, the book is out now, so it's wherever books are sold.
Okay, well, it's fantastic. And I see your photo there. You look like a little pixie, like Audrey Hepburn pixie. And,
Thank you. Oh, that's very generous. Thank you.
You're so cute. And you are just a fabulous writer. I am very, very happy that I got to speak to you today, because you are right up there, as I said, and one of these old-fashioned writers who really knows her chops and can tell a great story. And I'm just thrilled with this book. And everybody, it's called The Banker's Wife, and it's available wherever books are sold. And I know you're going to have lots of fun. You're going on tour to a lot of places. That means they really love you when they send you all over the place.
They are sending me everywhere. Yep. So I've got a lot of work to do, but it's a lot of fun. I'm excited.
Okay. Well, you have a great tour, and I know that everybody who gets it, everybody out there, this book is a 5-star, and I'm telling you that right now. You don't have to go with this. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you again for being on Joy on Paper. It's been really a joy to talk to you, and a joy that you and I have walked in the same places. It's always exciting.
I know. Thank you so much. It's been a total joy for me, so I really appreciate being on.
Okay. Bye-bye, Christina. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, I like her. I like her. I like her. And I love this book.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author? an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
MyPillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special.
Support Joy on Paper and local authors. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code PATSY, P-A-T-Z-I. Or call 1-800-871-1543. That's 800-871-1543.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z, and I am back. And again, I want to tell you that I really think you will enjoy The Banker's Wife. I'm sure, I haven't been able to check the ratings, but I'm sure it's going to be a number one New York Times bestseller. And it's just always such a thrill when you come across a writer whose work you really enjoy and who just, because she places her book in so many of the places that I have lived in or traveled to, it was just a real joy for me to read it. And it might inspire you to actually go and visit those places, because it is a great book. You know, I want to answer a few questions that I've been getting. It's really wonderful. I do appreciate everyone who's been going to Facebook and liking Joy on Paper there. It's Radio Joy on Paper. I appreciate whenever you go and like the page. And also when you go to my webpage, which is radio-joyonpaper. And you can see there the, right on the front page, I have featured interviews. I have upcoming interviews, and I have a big archive of hundreds of authors that I have interviewed over the past just over 3 years. As a matter of fact, some people have asked me, you know, about the program, and it's interesting that, you know, I started Joy on Paper just over 3 years ago, and I got the bright idea at 4:15 one morning. And it's a funny story, and I will tell you about it later, but suffice to say that unlike many times in our lives when we have bright ideas in the middle of the night, I actually followed up on that one, and within a very short time, within a few weeks actually, I was on the air right here at Tantalk Radio Networks here in beautiful, glorious Clearwater, Florida. And so it's been an exciting adventure that I have done this in 3.5 years. I mean, I still have to pinch myself sometimes because it has been amazing. I have interviewed 9 Mystery Writer of America Grandmasters, the Poet Laureate of the United States, a dozen of our absolutely wonderful veterans and heroes, including the Medal of Honor recipient, Colonel Leo Thorsness. I think that was probably an interview that touched my heart more than any other interview, because Colonel Thorsness was a great supporter of my project to honor the pilots and the ground crews of the F-105. And so I've been working on that project for quite a few years now, and it's called Forgotten F-105 Warriors. You can see it on the web. It's the website is called Forgotten F-105 Warriors, and it tells the story of the F-105 pilots and the dedicated ground crews who kept their planes going. And so I was just so thrilled to talk to Colonel Thorsness, because he was a great supporter of this project and a great supporter of Joy on Paper. You know, many famous people have been on Joy on Paper now, and I love to promote their books. Paula Poundstone was on, and she was so much fun, and Lise Wheel, and Gretchen Rubin. And one of my very favorite guests was Olympic gold medal winner Sonia Richard Roberts. You know, it's just so much fun to talk to these people. But one of the greatest joys for me is to talk to new authors, authors who are just coming up, who are just started. I know that it was for me, I had been looking for short stories because I wanted to recommend to writers that they write short stories. As if you haven't written before, it's a good way to start writing, to write short stories. It's a way to hone your talents. And many of the greatest writers in America and in the world started off by writing short stories, because it's a way to practice and to get better. And I was looking for some short stories for science fiction. And I came across an author named Nikki Drayden. And I thought, well, I like these short stories. They really, they're wonderful sci-fi stories. And just as I was, she only had the short stories, and I was thinking, well, this is a wonderful author. And just the week that I found her short stories and wanted to talk to everyone about them, and I contacted her, it was the week that she got a contract to do a book. So it was her first book. So it was really, it was so exciting to talk to her at that point. And then a few weeks later, she was on the program to talk about her first book. And it was a wonderful, wonderful feeling to be able to share that joy that she discovered in writing. And so I am really thrilled that in August, she has a new book coming out and she's going to be on the program. So we'll be talking about that. And over the course of this 3.5 years, I've met quite a few writers, some who have written one book or two books, and then there are some overachievers. And I was thinking about this the other day, because I mentioned Carol J. Perry. And when I first met Carol J. Perry, she had just written, this is back in May of 2015, she had just written her first book, had just come out. And it was really, you know, she just came up to me at a writer's meeting and asked me if I'd like to interview her. And it was funny, she was actually one of my very first interviews here at the studio. And she wrote she was writing a book, and she was calling it, it was a series then, it was called Witch City Mysteries. Now, she was born on the eve of Halloween, and so she set these stories in Salem, Massachusetts, and they're absolutely adorable. These are cozy mysteries. And the first one was Caught Dead-Handed, and the second one was Tales You Lose. And now this is back in 2015. It is now 2018, and it is so amazing that she is coming out with her seventh book, which is going to come out in September. And in just that short period of time, she has done so amazingly well. She's an inspiration to all of you out there. She knows what she wants. She identified the type of book she wanted to write, a cozy mystery. She studied the cozy mystery genre for a long time. She read a lot of books. She understands it. And she has really honed her craft. And this is something that all of you have to do. You have to say, okay, I want to write a type of book or a series, and then go and read. Of course, you should be well-read in all genres, but then you should know the type of book that you're writing. And what I love about Carol's book is it's a real, true cozy mystery, in that there's no bad words. There's a teenager could read these books, and as a matter of fact, I encourage it because I think one of the things, if you have teenagers in your life, I would give this to any teenage girl because they will. There's a little bit of romance. There's a little bit of just fun stuff, and it is the kind of book that, you know, the whole series. She has just kept it exactly the way it should be. She hasn't gone outside of the boundaries because that's one of the things. And recently I was given a cozy mystery and there was some dirty language in it. And I thought, no, that's not a cozy mystery. I don't feel cozy with it. So you have to sort of know your business and you have to know what you're doing. And Carol J. Perry certainly does. And another author whose work I also admire so much is Bransu Brandvik. And in a minute, I'm going to play a book buzz for one of her books. And again, Bransu is a local author here, and she was here to talk about a book. And Rita Moreau, who is our book buzz genius, did a book buzz about her book. So let's play that, and then I'll come back.
This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest book buzz mystery, Redemption. The Spirits of the Bellevue Biltmore by Bransu Brandvik is the third in a series of wonderful novels that celebrate the beautiful and historic Bellevue Biltmore. Here's the buzz. Summertime's eidetic memory and computer hacking skills made her the ideal con artist until she ran afoul of the mob. She thought she managed to escape their clutches, but now her murderous enemies are forcing her to participate in a high-stakes robbery at the Bellevue Biltmore Hotel, where the annual McNeil Foundation art auction is to be held. If she fails, Summer and her twin brother will be killed. Things go from bad to worse when spirits of soldiers who occupied the hotel during World War II invade her dreams, unintentionally putting Summer in even more danger. She's forced to make life and death choices at every turn, but as the spirit of Margaret Plant says, life is all about making choices. The afterlife is about earning redemption for the choices you made. Wow! If you love historical fiction, mystery, and romance, and a few ghosts, you will love Redemption, The Spirits of the Bellevue Biltmore by Bransu Brandvik. This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper. For more on my suggestions on the mysteries you should not miss, go to our webpage, www.radio-joyonpaper.com, and click on Book Buzz. That's radio-joyonpaper. Hey, while you're there, like us on Facebook. We need those likes. This is Rita Moreau, buzzing off for now.
Okay, well, thank you, Rita, for that. I'm calling her Radio Rita now because she's a very funny and a very talented author. And you can see her books on Amazon or Barnes & Noble online, and you will enjoy her series. And one of the things is I wanted to mention about a couple of things. First, back to Bransu Brandvik for a moment. Bransu is really quite an amazing author because she lives in the area. She wanted to preserve the Bellevue Biltmore Hotel. For anyone who had ever seen it, it was such an amazing hotel, enormous, enormous hotel. It was made of wood. It was the largest, I think, maybe the largest, certainly the largest wood hotel as structure. And it was quite... It was just thrilling to see the hotel. And it was laid out here on the beautiful golf course here called Bellevue Biltmore. And I just loved, I used to love to go there and just to be there. Partly because every famous person you can think of who ever came to Florida stayed there. And one of my favorite guests was Babe Ruth. And I drive past that golf course every day, and I just love to imagine the babe out there playing golf, and how much he enjoyed coming to Florida, because most people don't understand that Babe Ruth was really the person who really set America on fire with golf, because he loved golf. And before that, there weren't that many people doing golf. But after, wherever he went, wherever he traveled, he wanted to get in some games of golf. And so wherever, every city he went to, he would head for the golf course. And that's one of the reasons that there are so many golf courses started opening up, because all of Babe's fans wanted to also play golf. And so the golfing world owes a lot to Babe Ruth because of his love for the game. And I get such a kick of thinking of him walking through, you know, I drive past the 15th and 14th and hole, and I just love to think of him out there playing golf. And Bonsu wanted to preserve the hotel, and so she was one of these activist people. I love people who want to save something, and she was out there and protesting and working hard, getting petitions and trying to save the hotel. And indeed, I think it could have been saved and preserved if it wasn't for the 2008 financial collapse here in Florida, and boom, 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 it just collapsed, and all the funding to renovate the hotel disappeared, and in the end, they knocked down this beautiful hotel, which is heartbreaking, because when you have a really gorgeous building like that, nobody should be allowed to knock it down. And so we're lucky that the Don Cesar Hotel here in St. Petersburg was preserved. But the wrecking ball was actually at that hotel, ready to knock it down. And so we are lucky that there, again, were people like Bonsu. But you can get Bonsu's books online. And the most wonderful thing is she has done a website. This woman was so dedicated to this hotel. She went and crawled through every place in that hotel. She opened hidden doors. She went into the basement. She went into the attics. And she took photographs. And these are absolutely amazing. So when you're reading her books, it's wonderful to just click onto her website and look at these photographs that she has taken to preserve the memory of the hotel. And I'm sure historians for generations will just be so thankful, because nobody else thought to take photographs of all the little places that are usually forgotten, and she did it. And I think that was a absolutely brilliant, brilliant thing to do. And again, back to Carol J. Perry. Carol J. Perry is now, as I said, her seventh book will come out in September. And it's going to be lots of fun, and I'm really looking forward to it, because, I look forward to all of her books. I look forward to all of her books. She has just a wonderful, wonderful character. The new book is called Bells, Spells, and Murders, and it has her hero, Lee Barrett, who is has her dream job on Salem's television station, and gets into all sorts of fun and always there's always a little bit of there's mystery, and they're wonderful characters. Aunt Ibby is one of the characters in that book, and once you read about Aunt Ibby, you'll never forget her. And the most important, perhaps, character for so many people is Orion the cat, and Orion appears on the cover of all of her books, which, by the way, if you are a cozy mystery author, you must look at Carol's books as an example of the type of cover you want, because one of the things you need covers that tie your books together. Clive Cussler was one of the first authors who understood that, because he had been in advertising as a young man, and he understood the importance of having your covers tell a story in and of themselves. And Carol J. Perry's covers are among the very, very best. And I don't know if they have an award for series covers, but she should get them, because and the artist who does them, because It just captures her books so well. And, of course, Orion the cat is always on the covers. And I think that sells a lot of books because there are a lot of cat lovers out there. And it's wonderful. And the great thing about it is she is published by Kensington Press. And Kensington Press has an end cap display at Barnes & Noble. And they have 30 cozy mysteries on that display. And Carol has two of them from July 10th through August 20th, two of Carol's books, the first two, Caught Dead-Handed and Tales You Lose, will be available in Barnes & Noble on their display. It's really exciting for an author to get that honor to be and to have two of them at the same time, because usually they only give an author one, and you're very lucky to get that. So that Carol has two just shows, one, I think that her covers are so good. People just like to look at the covers. I think you automatically want to reach for, if you're looking at a display, you want to pick up that cover because they're really good. And the books are wonderful, perfect for a summer read. And also she has them on Audible, and the Audible versions are very, very good. So again, if you're going to the beach and you don't want to take a book, you can get the Audible book and version, and it's wonderful, and you will enjoy yourself. And that's the important thing with reading. Again, I have my countdown now. It's going to be 23 hours. I'm going to be talking to Daniel Silva about his new book, The Other Woman. You will be hearing a lot about it over the next few days on television shows, and I'm sure he's going to be all over the place. And I'm just so happy that one of the places you are able to hear about him and about his book is right here on Joy on Paper. If you have a special question for him, something special, he was born in Detroit, so I'm always interested in people from Michigan. But if you have a special question, send it to me. Go to my webpage, radio-joy on paper, and you can, right there, there's a little form, you can fill it in. And by the way, when you're there, if you have an intellectual property question, you can send that in, because Bill Larson from Larson & Larson will be here in 2 weeks, and he's going to answer your questions about intellectual property. And remember, if you are an author, that is your most important asset, your writing, and you have to preserve it. And because there are so many scams and so many things out there, please do not sign anything without a lawyer. Please, I'm begging you, do not sign anything, especially from anybody who wants you to sign over your rights, or so that they can do a script of your book, because that's not the way it's done. And that's one of the things that I'm going to be talking about. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do a special sort of podcast, a podcast in which I talk about some of the things that writers need to know. So that's going to be a special little project of mine. But meanwhile, remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them in an Audible book, or if you're really, really lucky, and I think Carol J. Perry will be, I believe that she will be picked up, and we're going to see her one day on Hallmark Channel, because her books are absolutely fantastic, and she's going to be right there, and she's going to hear them say, cameras, light, action, because Carol's books, and I think also Bonsu Brandvik's books, would make absolutely wonderful, wonderful television series. So you never know, but the only way you will know is if you try. So do try. And also today, say something nice to somebody, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. He's saluting me, and he says, he's giving me the countdown. I love it. 5, 4, 3, bye, bye.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City.